prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bee.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash it or trash it. We give you hot takes. We give you reactions, overreactions. The other two guys that aren't participating will say if they crash it or if they trash it. You can play along, too. What are your hot takes? What are your overreactions? We'll cash them or trash them. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Age before beauty, Blankers. What is your first cash them or trash them on this very fine Tuesday afternoon?
It's funny because we just got done covering it. Aaron Rodgers will take the New York Jets to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm trashing that. I don't see the Jets coming out. Like, I like the Jets roster. I think they're very much in play to win the AFC East. It's going to be a tight race because Buffalo's very good. Miami's going to be fine. Tua's healthy, which is a huge if. So I think the Jets are in play here. I think they're a contender in the AFC. But do I think the Jets and Aaron Rodgers can run the gauntlet in the playoffs of what is the AFC? You still have the Chiefs that are in the AFC, who are the very best team in the AFC. Burrow's still there with the Bengals. Just mentioned Josh Allen and the Bills. I got to trash this one. I don't believe Aaron Rodgers and the J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets will be winning a Super Bowl in the Aaron Rodgers tenure as the quarterback in the mean green.
Agreed.
Trash.
I think they'll make the playoffs.
Sure.
I just don't think they'll win a Super Bowl.
I might even dabble to see what their odds look like. Actually, I did dabble to see what I picked them to win the AFC East before they made the Rodgers trade, assuming they were going to make the Rodgers trade because I thought it was good value.
Worst kept
and
secret
it was because the line has moved, which surprises me. Like, why did the line move on the Jets? We knew they were getting Rodgers.
It's a no-brainer.
You should have bet it before the trade.
Or more.
So I actually do have an AFC East ticket for the Jets, but I don't think they're going to win it.
Like Max Kellerman did his top five teams in the AFC. He had the Jags as the fifth team. He had the Chiefs.
I mean, they're a playoff team.
He had the Bengals. He did not have the Bills. Like, I'm looking at this and I'm going, why all of a sudden is everybody not high on the Bills? I just think that when you have the Chiefs and you have the Bills, and we know the shootout that we saw previously between those two quarterbacks, you got to believe that they're in the conversation. Burrow's in the conversation. Whether you're a believer in the Chargers or you think the Jags have turned it around that quickly, which I don't, I believe that there are other teams in the AFC that are still going to be in contention. And you mentioned one with Tua in his own division as well with Rodgers. I think the Jets are a playoff team. I don't think the Jets are a Super Bowl contender or one of the top three Super Bowl contenders in the AFC.
Yeah, sounds like we're all trash in this one. All right, here's my first cash or trash. Martin Maldonado should not be the everyday catcher by August 1st. I don't care if he's the everyday catcher in May. I don't care if he's the everyday catcher in June. I don't care if he's the everyday catcher in July. I do not want Martin Maldonado to be the everyday guy by August 1st. Led the league in pass balls last year. Currently leads the league in pass balls this year. Can't catch a fastball that's above his eyes. He can't hit a lick. I do not want Martin Maldonado to be the everyday catcher for the Houston Astros starting on August 1st.
I'm going to cash this, and I'm going to hope it happens prior to that. Because what I used to see in Martin Maldonado, which I used to hold out hope for, that at least because he plays such great defense and he throws runners out, he still, and again, because he's the pitching staff psychiatrist, that there's too much value and he just has to be in the lineup. And I wish we could do this all again with another catcher like they did a year ago, and I hope they can find another guy like that, because of the fact that what I see now is a guy that knows that the end is near. He knows that, you know, the fact that he's getting older, that this is his last year with Houston, and I think no matter where he plays next year, if he plays next year, it won't be here unless he gives them a sweetheart of a deal as a backup. I've seen a guy that's lazy behind the plate. I've seen a guy that's made too many mistakes already. And I've seen a guy that, as much as the machete cuts guys down, because of the new rules, because of the bigger bases, because of the limited amount of times they can throw to first base, I don't see him having nearly the value as a catcher that throws runners out, and I think that I'll cash this.
All right, I'm going to trash.
Whoa!
No, no, timeout. I'm going to trash the idea of calling him lazy. I think he's just old.
Oh, I think if you look at some of the replays of some of the past balls this year and balls that he let get away in key situations,
I think he's a bit lazy.
Look at the glove placement, body placement.
I think he's just not moving.
That's okay.
I'll cash that, though. I agree with Joel. I think it should happen sooner. But the problem is it can't happen sooner if they don't try.
Exactly.
If you don't put Diaz out there, like if he's only catching Hunter Brown,
I think the answer, Joe, is that on another team currently.
It could be. I think the answer is because I said August 1st.
Yeah, prior to the trade deadline, I think the answer comes from another team again.
What is the Major League Baseball trade deadline this year? They did that stupid thing where now it's floating because they do it on a specific day.
I don't know when it is this
year. I would
year.
Love it if the answer came from the same source that it came last year.
It's actually August 1st. they do it on a Tuesday. So August 1st is the trade deadline this
year. I'm curious like how big they'll swing. Because like if you look at like what the Astros need to acquire at the deadline potentially, what else would you be looking for besides a catcher? Like we think that they have center field figured out.
I doubt it. Like, I mean, what kind of pitcher are you acquiring unless it's just a blockbuster where you're getting like an ace? Like, what kind of starter are you adding to that rotation? Unless there's injuries, and we're assuming no injuries here. I really don't see like a Scott Kazmir type of starter. Yeah, I don't really see starter being in the play here, like without injury.
Unless
I don't really see
people dumping out on a veteran.
Maybe a lefty reliever.
Yeah, Dusty gets his lefty.
Which, by the way, I got one in mind.
Bad bum?
Of course not.
Why don't you just keep your guy who has a perfect ERA this season who has reverse splits? And Phil Maton.
Yeah.
He is having a heck of a start.
He's got a 0.00 ERA.
Aroldis Chapman.
Oh.
Well, that's the only reason why Kansas City signed him.
I mean, he is throwing gas.
He's back. Aroldis Chapman's back. Get him in Houston. Had that little grin without Tuve.
110% cheating.
He's our Luke. Okay, fine.
I'm just saying.
Everybody cheats in baseball.
I know.
All right, what you got, Joe?
There's no way he goes from bum, like super bum, to throw in 103 gas just because he's in Kansas City again.
He's back. A little sticky stuff. Ain't ever broke my heart. Joe?
I'm going to go with the Dodgers are not going to go to the World Series this year. And the only reason why I even bring that up today is because Baseball Prospectus put out their percentage chances to win the World Series. And the Dodgers are still a 23.6% chance to win the World Series this year. I don't buy it. So there is no way the Dodgers are even getting to the World Series.
There's a way.
This season.
Biggest cheaters in baseball.
I don't buy it. They're not that good.
I hate to say it, but there's a way.
Shohei?
Yep. That's the way. The Angels realize that once again, they're going to fall short. Ownership and management finally agree to press the reset button.
So you're trashing me?
They know that Shohei is not going to be with the Angels after so they have to move him. The Dodgers have already been waiting to make a play in free agency. They make it early. They add him, and Shohei takes him.
I'm going to cash this. The Dodgers aren't even one of the best two teams in the NL West.
I don't.
The Dodgers aren't as good as the Padres.
You're not going to say the Diamondbacks.
Do not sleep on
the Diamondbacks. I know they're coming, but I don't think they're there yet.
Their rotation is nasty.
I think they're very.
Gallon at the top. Ooh.
They're very Brent Strom. 15 Astros.
I agree with that. They're not there yet, but they're on a rapid pace to get there quickly.
They got the Corbin Carroll, one of the best young players in all of baseball. That's a great comp. 15 Astros is a great comp.
And honestly, they might be more like the 16 Astros.
They got Brent Strom. They got Uncle Banny Rooster there, their bench coach. All-star coaching staff.
Baseball's weird early this season.
Jeff Bannister's my uncle-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Banny Rooster's their bench coach.
This season's weird. The Diamondbacks are good. The Pirates are good.
I know.
Padres are good.
Pirates aren't
Braves
bad.
Are good.
Oh, Padres are below 500.
Braves to me are
Padres
the best team.
Padres are going to be just fine.
Braves to me are the best team in the NL.
And the Braves
are
most people's favorites to get to the World Series.
713-780-ESPN. What's your cash them or trash them? Here are a couple of textures, some of the best ones. A bad tweet texture. Cash or trash. The NBA wants MJ's team to get the number one pick.
Nope.
Didn't he sell or he's selling?
He's trying to sell.
He's
it.
Selling the team.
Yeah, that's a trash. Yeah. They have no interest in hooking him up with the number one pick. 8693, cash or trash. The Jose Urquidy non-trade is looking worse by the day.
False.
So trash.
Yeah, trash it. Just trash it. I don't think so because
this isn't true or false.
Okay.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
I bet you did.
You told it not.
No, I did not.
This is a trash. Like. You had trash. Wilson Contreras. If you made the trade, it's a rental. He leaves you in the offseason.
Yep.
You literally won the World Series. You could have signed him without trading him.
Exactly.
So, like, this is a complete trash. You won the World Series without Wilson Contreras. You still have Jose Urquidy. I know he got lit up yesterday and can't get righties out for whatever reason. But he's still a member of this rotation and eating innings at the very least.
He gave you another way to another reason why you could let Verlander walk and not pay that exorbitant amount of money. Is because you knew that he added depth to your starting rotation. So For all those and more, it was a trash, Joe.
Yeah, it's a trash. You got another trash. One. I don't want to mention mine. Mine's too much of deep thinking to use in the last couple minutes.
Oh.
What's your second one?
I forgot what it was.
I can give you mine.
In this offseason, the Rockets will sign one, if not both, of Eric Gordon and James Harden.
I'll trash that.
Trash. Oh, God.
I don't think Harden's going to end up here. I really don't.
I don't either.
I really don't.
But the other one, there's a possibility.
They have so much guard play, though.
Eric Gordon's all about the money and the years.
Right.
And he likes Houston.
But I feel like
he knows the franchise.
But it's not from an Eric Gordon perspective. I like Eric Gordon. This is from like a young Rockets perspective. Like, you got guards. Like, you have Jalen Green. Do you want to use KJP? Do you want to use Scoot? Do you want to use Kevin Porter Jr. on the wing as a point guard? I don't know. I want Tari Eason to get minutes. I want KJ Martin to get minutes on the wing. I like the wings on this team where I don't want to sign a free agent wing. I just don't. I don't want Eric Gordon.
But they need
team.
Shooting. And that's the thing that scares me. They think Eric Gordon could be like a spot-up shooter guy, too. Eric Gordon takes too many good shots away from their young players. I hate this, but I know it's a possibility.
Joe George, cashing or trashing?
Trash.
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 I mean, come on. He's not good. He can't shoot.
Which one?
Gordon.
Oh, I thought you meant Harden, too.
I would take James Harden in whatever he costs 10 times over whatever Eric Gordon costs
you. At least you get a point guard.
For $50 million a year.
Over whatever Eric Gordon costs you for 15, 20, yeah.
Leads the league in assists.
He didn't want to be here. He was comfortable.
Like, I knew it would be quick. I just threw it out there, kids.
They say that, they say that you want a point guard that's the reflection of a coach, and we both know that Harden and Adoka are dogs.
Jesus. Trash your joke.
Jeez. No good?
No.
No. He looked at me twice. Like, I wouldn't have even pulled the trigger on that one.
I was not confident. I was looking for approval.
I need like a bad joke drop.
Yeah, you do.
Well, if you were on the show full time, you might have found one.
I'm literally here all the time.
0170, bat the pitcher and DH for Maldonado. You cashing or trashing that?
I'll
cash it.
I would trade for McCullers.
If Zach Greinke was still on this team, I might do it at least once every fifth start.
What if McCullers is healthy? If Martin Maldonado had 500 plate appearances this year, if Lance McCullers had 500 plate appearances this year, which one of the two has better offensive numbers?
McCullers.
No. Maldonado.
713-780-ESPN. 500 plate appearances for Maldonado.
You think McCullers is going yard 500. Even once?
He doesn't need to. He just needs to get on base every 20% of the time.
I don't think he's doing
it. It's like Moneyball.
What are Lance McCullers' career numbers offensively? I'm curious about this now. 713-780-3776. 500 plate appearances for Maldi. 500 for Lance McCullers. Who has better offensive numbers? What were you saying about Moneyball? He only had 14 plate appearances in his regular season career. He was 1 for 14.
The other one I had was that Dusty Baker should take away Martin Maldonado's bat, and he should just go stand up there without it and hope he walks.
It's not a bad idea. He won't hit a double plays that way
yep.
to end innings, rallies.
Just stand there and try to get the pitcher to throw as many pitches as possible.
I know Yiner Diaz looked lost yesterday. Give him 2 starts of every 5 games, please.
He
needs at bats. Like, part of the reason he looks lost because he never plays.
This is where I get people want to defend Dusty relentlessly,
Dusty,
but
we trust
he values the wrong thing sometimes.
On the internet. Okay. Everything belongs on the internet. All right, 713-780 or exists on the internet. Even Will Levis odds on Reddit. 713-780-3776. Speaking of the Astros, they got hammered a little bit yesterday by the Rays. Is Jordan Alvarez soft again? Does he need to be put on the IL? Is Jordan Alvarez just saying, I don't want to play baseball in Tampa? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know something that would cure up Jordan? A little bit of gentle bend. And he doesn't have to go very far when he's playing home games to get it. More on that later. Of course, I like a good drink at the end of the day. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of the rotation for me. Local Texas brand, as you know by now. Gentle Bend Spirits does it all, and they do it better than anybody else. Why? Well, they use their state-of-the-art innovative Percedo craft technology that makes them better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Bend is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. No impurity. Try a sip of Gentle Bend, compare it to your brand, you're going to taste a huge difference. I tasted a huge difference way back in the day when I first tried it, and ever since then I've been a Gentle Bend man, as you know. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Savor it. Don't work through it. You don't want to labor through it. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka, Gin, and Bourbon at Total Wine. You can find it at Specs, many of the other local liquor stores as well. Pick up your bottle on the way home today. Or if you want to head out to the tasting room in Alvin, make sure you do that as well. Or if you're going to an Astros game soon, if you're going to Minute Maid Park, well, Gentle Ben is there. Gentle Ben Bar, just to the left of the Crawford boxes, right when you walk in from the Union Station entrance. Try a sip, Gentle Ben. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll talk about the Astros' defeat yesterday in 2.5 minutes. First, let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Andy, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. You got to cash it or trash it, Andy?
Yeah, I sure do. It's all pertaining to the passing attack for the Texans next year.
Okay.
So, 50 catches, either cash it or trash it. Mechie, 50 catches or trash or catch it?
Cash it. All right. Appreciate the appreciate it, Andy. You catch it or trash it? 50 catches for John Mechie.
I'm going to trash it.
Trash.
I don't know how healthy he's going to be. I don't know if he's even coming back. And if he does, I don't know how long it takes for him to be
to catch leukemia again?
No, I don't know.
Like,
can I finish?
He wasn't hurt.
Right, but you don't know if he's going to stay in remission, if everything's gone, if everything's going to go
well,
right
for
him.
He was hurt.
He was hurt coming in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then on top of that, he's got to learn the system.
20 months removed?
Yeah, I think 50 might be a little high. I'm not saying that he might not be a valuable contributor. I don't know that he's going to get 50 balls.
There was one receiver who caught 50 passes last year for the Texans. Brandon Cooks caught 57. Chris Moore caught 48.
That's, again, another reason why I don't know. I don't think so.
50's a good number. I'm going to cash it. Like, I think we're sleeping on John Mechie a little bit. Like, the dude was a second-round pick last year in the NFL draft.
And if he didn't tear his ACL, he's a first.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've been doing a lot of these best balls. The dude's going in the 20th round. I've been loading up on John Mechie because I think he has boom potential. Like, what if he plays to just a second-round wide receiver level? You're getting a really good return on that. So I'm gonna cash it. I'm going to go over 50 for John Mechie.
Yep. Easy money, I think.
I love getting him in the 20th round right now.
I love taking the other side. So there.
That's fine.
20th round for John Mechie, a second-round receiver. Meanwhile, you have like Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnson going like in the 14th round. Like, it's a steal. It's a steal. So is Will Levis. But I digress. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. John, you're in the hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was just curious, if it's Joel, my guy for basketball, no disrespect. But my question is what are the chances if the Mavericks potentially have another bad year or two of the Rockets going after Luka? I'll shut up and listen.
Appreciate it. Look, thanks, John, not only are you going to shut up, but Joe George is going to make you shut
Joe's,
up.
Joe's just going to give you the
him.
Ziggy.
I didn't drop him. I just put him on hold.
And with that, sir, you are gone. So the way he worded the question, what are the chances the Rockets go after him? I think they'd be insane not to. I think anybody in this league would be insane not to go after him. What are the chances he's actually a Rocket? I don't think very good, because I don't think Mark Cuban's going to let him out the door. I think that you saw that if it came down to Kyrie or Luka, that he's going to side with Luka. You know that as much as he swung for the fences to give Luka help, if they can't find the appropriate help that makes Luka happy and comfortable, they'll move on and find somebody else before they move Luka. He's just too big of a presence and too meaningful for Dallas or any franchise he plays for to let him walk out the door. And for that reason alone, I don't think he goes anywhere. I don't think Cuban lets him, and I don't think the Rockets get him.
Do you think that it's a Kyrie-Luka thing?
No. Well, I think there is a Kyrie-Luka thing, and I think that you heard it at the end of the year, and you heard Luka basically call him out. Then you heard him, Kyrie, kind of try and downplay it, but say, I'm just going to do my thing, and I'm not going to worry about all that. But then, because they gave up what they gave up to get him,
yeah.
Jason Kidd, who didn't want to answer the question in his final press conference, said, do I think he's still our top priority to bring back? He had nothing else to say but, yes, I do. He also made it very clear that he doesn't make those decisions, and he's just the employee that gets told what to do, because I think he doesn't like that.
But I don't think there's chemistry between those two, and I think that it was a swing and miss.
Yeah, I think that this is very unlikely, but the Rockets have tons of draft capital and lots of young players to have them in about as good a position as anybody else around the league to make that type of trade.
Yeah, there's a couple with them.
Yeah, there's a few. But it also depends on where the player wants to go, as we know. Like, a lot of times the player is dictating where they go. So I think that the Rockets are in a decent spot.
OKC can have all those
picks. If that were to happen. I think the Rockets are in a decent spot if that were to happen.
Yeah, OKC has all those picks. He ain't going to OKC. Like, you have to... The player has to want to go somewhere.
Yeah,
like, that's how the NBA works.
They need to be a playoff
contender. I know people like hate on the Rockets for trading Daryl Morey or trading James Harden to the Nets, but like the players call the shots. It doesn't matter if they're under contract with you; they decide where they're going, even if they're under contract with you. Yeah. If Luka wants to come here, he'll be here. But
yeah. If Luka was demanding a trade, I think the Rockets are in the conversation, and I don't rule it out completely. I think it's in play at maybe some point because Stars at some point won out. 713-780-ESPN. Astros lost baseball yesterday. They lost to the Rays, who stay perfect at home at the Trop. The best home field advantage in all of baseball. They lost 8-3. That game got away from them. Jose Urquidy can't get right-handed hitters out. Getting up two strikes on hitters, couldn't put them away. Rays are a good hitting team. Rays are looking pretty good. Rays looking really good. The story, though, is Yordan Alvarez. Yordan Alvarez flying back home to Houston, strained neck. Apparently, it's been bothering him for a week. No timeline on his return. No, you know, word on if he's going to be on the IL. The moment I heard about this, Yordan Alvarez doesn't want to play in Tampa. Also, just put Yordan Alvarez on the IL. Like, anytime that dude has a ding, anytime that guy has a knock, just give him 10 days off immediately. 10 days off. You have a strained neck. You have a cut on your pinky toe. 10 days off. I don't want to risk any sort of long-term injury with Yordan Alvarez. You're landing on the IL anytime you complain about anything.
No, because he's too valuable to this team. He had this neck injury, and he was pretty damn successful in the Braves series. I understand that he needs to get checked out. It's unfortunate because you're taking on a team that I really felt like you could make a bigger statement than you even made against the Braves by basically ending the 13-game home winning streak, by basically sending a message that how the odds are changing and everybody thinks Tampa's now the favorite to go to the World Series. I believe that the Astros are a better team. Yeah, they got off to a hot start. It's unfortunate Yordan wouldn't play a part in the fact that they could send the early message, but they don't need to. The fact is you need this guy in the lineup. Dana Brown spoke yesterday. He basically said, look, you know, he flew back. If we were going to try and rush him back to Tampa for the rest of that series, would it possibly even exacerbate the injury or make him feel more uncomfortable? Maybe, so we're not going to do it, but he should be ready for the series against the Phillies this weekend. That's all you needed to hear. Because he's such a massive role for this team. He's been on such a tear that the last thing you need to do is put him on the IL and see him sit for 10 days or more when this team has struggled to get out of the gates, and he's one of the reasons why they haven't struggled more mightily and that they're above 500. It's fine. I hate it. I hate because he has so many different injuries and nagging injuries and problems that we are constantly hearing about that make you kind of gasp and go, please, no. But if this is all it is, then give him this series off. Let him get back against the Phillies. And just be thankful that it's nothing more than that.
All the reasons of what you just said is why I just put him on the IL. I agree with you. He's so valuable that I want to protect him. I'm not worried about games in April and early May. Just not.
I get it.
Just not. Like, I want this. And I know that it's probably not serious. Like, if they're saying that he could potentially return when the Astros come home, all of that. Like, I get it. I totally get it. But any single time that Yordan's complaining about anything, neck, sore hands, smoke in Atlanta, put him on the IL. I need this guy healthy when it matters most. I don't need him healthy in May. I don't need him healthy in May. And it's the same reason that he should never be in the outfield. The guy finds injuries. The guy is injury prone. You need to do everything in your power to protect Yordan Alvarez. When he has a ding, 10-day IL. Whenever he's healthy, never playing him in left field. He's injury prone. I got to protect the best player on this team.
My only real issue with the Alvarez stuff is the way the Astros have approached injuries like this the last three or four seasons, or really since Dusty was here.
Mm-hmm.
That these guys get banged up a little bit, and then they sit on the bench, and the Astros play shorthanded, and then They put them on the injured list anyways, and then they retroactively do it. That's great, but like they just play shorthanded for like four or five
games.
And it's like, what's the point? So like if you don't think he's going to be back for the Phillies series, then you should be on the IL. Now they only have two players in the organization that they could call up at this point.
Well, they could activate Chaz.
Yeah, if Chaz is ready.
Chaz is ready, and they're saying he wasn't ready for today. He could be called up today, and he wasn't ready today. So I don't know how far away he is, but you could call him up.
My gut tells me this is really
activate him.
He flew back to get checked out. He's fine. There's no point to fly him back to Tampa to play for a day.
No.
It's just a waste of time. So my guess is he's totally fine.
I agree with that. I totally agree. But I'm protecting the best player on this team. It's why I also don't want him to play left field ever. He should be a permanent DH. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Star, starter, bust. Joe George is going to give us three draft prospects. We have to tell you if he's going to be a star, a starter, or a bust. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
As you know, ESPN 97.5, your home for the best draft coverage in the city. The Will House will be live in Kansas City for the draft. We'll be here locally at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage on the Southwest Freeway, Greenville location, Thursday night from 6 to 11. If you're looking for draft plans, well, the place to watch it, Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage with us, Greenville location, and also the Greenway Plaza location, I should say.
Greenville.
Greenway Plaza. And also, you have the opportunity to win a 75-inch TV courtesy of Audio-Visual Consultations. All you have to do is participate in our mock draft contest. You do have to be there to win, but why wouldn't you be there? Great food. We'll be broadcasting live with our draft show, 6 to 11. Granato, myself, Gallant, Patrick Creighton, all will be there for our ESPN 97.5 draft show, our entire NFL draft coverage presented by 1800 Tequila, the official tequila of the Houston Texans. Before we play star, starter, bust, let's go out to the HRMP listener line real quick. 713-780-3776. John, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What is up, John?
Yeah, I was just curious of your opinion. I don't know if y'all are aware, but with the new rules and bigger bases, stolen base success rate is up to 81%, mm-hmm. which is an all-time high, and it beats the other all-time high by about 5%. With that, and Maldonado batting like 170, 175, whatever, why is he needed now? I understand they always say it's because of handling of the staff, but as I noticed last year, it didn't really make that much of a difference when he wasn't catching. So if they're going to steal on him anyway, I don't see why we need him in the lineup.
Appreciate the question, John. I think the easy answer is because in Dusty, we trusty. Now, look, the stolen base rate is, like you mentioned, an all-time high. The bigger bases did that. We kind of saw it coming because you could see what the numbers like were implicated whenever they played in minor league baseball. We all thought about the shift. I thought the big bases were going to be the biggest thing, especially with only the two disengagement rule. Now, you still value a catcher who can throw guys out, but maybe now more so because there is a higher stolen base rate because runners are going more often. Problem is, doesn't seem like Maldi's arm is what it used to be. And plus, some of these pitchers, too, aren't great at coming to the plate. Like Christian Javier, he's very slow to the plate. That's just one example. But you're right. Like, at some point, you got to make the decision of Maldi's defense, which some of his defense you can be critical of, leads the league in pass balls, led the league in pass balls last year. He's not throwing out base runners anymore, in large part because of the rules. I still think he has a good arm. His receiving ability is his receiving ability. The strength of him defensively seeing pitchers through games is to be able to call a good game for a pitcher. But when we've seen other catchers catching, whether it's Christian Vasquez last year, whether it's Yiner Diaz this year, we've still seen good outings from starting pitchers. So I tend to agree with you, John. I don't think that Maldi should be really the permanent starter for this team. I would say right now, late April, early May, that look, if Dusty's committed to Maldi, because look, Dusty's earned his, you know, the reputation of Dusty's earned the right to make these decisions. Maldi still is the primary catcher of this team, whatever. Dusty, you can do what you want. You want a World Series title. I would like Yiner to start at least two games, though. Give him 40% of the starts. He starts two of the games that, you know, you have a five-man rotation. He starts two of them. Like, he's catching every day for Hunter Brown.
Is that under the impression, like, did you want to playoff prep him? Like, get him ready so by playoffs he's comfortable with the
maybe
staff.
Maybe he takes over the job. Like, he's right now, he's the permanent catcher for Hunter Brown. So, okay, you have Hunter Brown, Yiner Diaz. Mm-hmm. Give him one more. Give him Urquidy. Mm-hmm. Give him Jose Urquidy. Let those be the two pitchers that Yiner Diaz catches every single trip through the rotation. That's 40% of the games.
Look, I think that you endured what you endured with last year and what he was able to do. I do think the new rules play into this as well. I think that Maldi's body, Maldi's inability to, whether you call it laziness or old age or a combination,
is not the same. He's not moving back there. But it's one thing to say he's not moving back there, but glove placement and the way he uses his glove, and it's like in the wrong position to stop balls as well, became a big issue with me so far this season. I would rather them go outside the organization before the trade deadline to get the long-term solution, or at least for the rest of the season, the solution. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, then I'm totally with your plan, because I don't think that he's earned any kind of extra special. We know Dusty's not giving extra special treatment to Chaz, even after what he did in the playoffs last year. Don't give Maldy too much to play with here and all this leeway to just continue to do what he's not been doing. At a certain point, you got to address it. It's the most glaring weakness you have on your team right now.
Give Yiner a chance to win the job. If you can't, then you know you need to make that trade coming up at the trade deadline. August 1st, still plenty of time. 713-780-ESPN. All right, it's time now for Star Starter Bust. Joe's going to give us three draft prospects coming up in the NFL draft this week, and we have to call one of them a star, one of them a starter, one of them a bust. Who is our trio this day? Dalton, our trio this day?
Dalton Kincaid.
Ooh, tight end.
Jahmyr Gibbs. Nolan Smith.
Oh, man. That's a good one. Blankers, you want to lead us off?
I'm trying to think of just positioning.
These are tough because I like all three of these guys.
That's the point.
I know. This one's really tough.
Because one of them likely will bust out.
I think Dalton Kincaid's going to be good. I just don't know. I'm trying to figure out how good.
It's hard. Tight end was hard doing this exercise because I wanted to include the position. But how many tight ends are like stars?
True. But like they're starting to be more prevalent.
They are.
Like in this draft or just period?
Period. Mm.
Kelsey.
One.
Mark Andrews.
I think the conversation.
Mark Andrews is really, really good.
That's for sure.
Mark Andrews, I think probably. Yeah, Mark Andrews is in that. He's not in the Kelsey class. He's not in the
Kittle.
Kittle's.
The way he played with Purdy.
TJ Hawkinson came on as soon as he got to Minnesota.
Those guys aren't stars, though.
No,
like, those
not.
Guys are good for their position. They're not stars. Kittle once was. Kittle was in the same conversation.
Kittle's a star.
Used to be, in my opinion.
I would consider Kittle a star. Because he's a great blocker.
Yeah.
Besides just what he does pass catching wise. So he's underappreciated versus Kelsey.
Yeah, maybe the fantasy numbers is where like I'm starting to maybe bias here.
So like for me, I would go
like Kittle's like tight end 4 right now in fantasy.
I think star would be Gibbs. I think
he's going to get the opportunity to be used the most and probably have the best chance to make the most of it right away.
Yeah, I think starter would be Kincaid and then my bust would be Nolan Smith. Too small.
I'm going to go – see, this is why – it depends on who drafts Nolan Smith. Like, if he's in a wide nine defensive technique where you can just say, you go out wide, you rush the quarterback, I don't need your power, I think he can have a lot of success. I think this defense could be one of the defenses he would have tons of success with. If he goes to a place that isn't going to allow that, then he's going to struggle. So for that, I'll call Nolan Smith my starter. I think Nolan Smith will be my starter here. I think he's going to be a solid defensive end. In the NFL, if he gets in a really good situation for him, like a wide nine, I think he can be really good. I'll call my star Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs will be my star here. I fell in love with Jahmyr Gibbs watching a bunch of Bryce Young film. I was watching Bryce Young, and I fell in love with Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's a first-round running back. I want him to go to Cincinnati for fantasy purposes. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be really, really good. I think we're talking about Jahmyr Gibbs as a top-5 running back at some point in his career. My bust is going to be Dalton Kincaid because of the injuries, because he has back concerns in these early 20s. I had back concerns in my early 20s, and I didn't turn out to be a good NFL player. I didn't turn out to be a superior athlete. The back injuries are going to be the things that scares me. I like Kincaid as a prospect, but if I have to pick one of these guys to be a bust, I think Kincaid has the most bust potential because he's coming to the NFL with a balky back.
I think that Kincaid's going to be a starter. I think that we know the stars in this league are primarily pass-catching wide receivers and, you know, shorter lifespan, but you get the stud running backs. I think, to your guys' point, and I still think George Kittle is a star, but I think he's also, relative to his system, he's a victim of it because his system has so much talent that he doesn't get utilized the way Kelsey or others would if he was in that kind of system. But I think that overall you don't see many tight ends that are stars. So I think Kincaid is your starter. I think that for sure I agree with both of you that Gibbs is your star because you say Cincinnati. I think he could end up either in Buffalo or Philadelphia. In either situation, I think because of the weapons around him, the offensive line, and the quality of the team, he is going to shine immediately. His pass catching, his ability to run the football, he is going to be a star right away. I don't know for how long, but I think he's going to be the star. And I just think Nolan Smith is too risky. I think that, you know, yeah, you want him in the right system to be able to rush the quarterback and rush the quarterback alone and just go do it and just go wreak havoc. I just don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to have sustainable success trying to do it on the next level with a bunch of really talented grown-ass men around him. And for I think that he's going to be the bust.
I think he's super dependent of the scheme.
I think you're right.
But also, I don't think a team shouldn't be dumb enough to pick him if he's not a good scheme fit. I think he's kind of a – I don't want to call him a gimmicky player. Yep. I don't want to call him a gimmicky player or like a niche player, because if he's in a wide nine front, I think he's going to be a really good player.
He could be dominant.
I mocked him last week. I mocked him going to the Texans at 12 last week because the Texans are going to play a little wide nine, and I think he's a great fit for that. I have a hot Buffalo Bills draft take. I don't think they go running back. I think that they're in love with James Cook. But that's last year's second round.
I think they need depth. I think they need the ability.
They signed Damian Harris from the Patriots. Lots of touchdowns 2 years ago.
I just think they need younger and more versatile than that even. And I think that he'd be a great fit there.
Yeah, I agree with that. He would be a great fit there. 713-780-ESPN, who's your star? Who is your starter? Who is your bust? Nolan Smith, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Dalton Kincaid. Yesterday we had the Twitter poll because everybody in the city saying quarterback or bust. Well, is it really quarterback or bust? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Also time now to give away some money and some tickets to go watch a movie. Discover the beginning of Hook versus Pan and an epic adventure to Neverland in Disney's Peter Pan and Wendy. Caller number 8 right now to 713-780-3776 wins a $100 Visa gift card courtesy of the movie. The movie event streams this Friday only on Disney Plus. Caller number 8, 713-780-3776.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, yeah. It's Luis Garcia night at the Trop in Tampa. We got him fixed last time. Joe George was playing wrong songs, wasn't playing any songs. And then the moment that Luis Garcia got a little cumbia in his life, He threw a gym. So hopefully a little
got the one wrong last night.
In his life, we'll throw another gym tonight because it's a very difficult Rays lineup.
Yeah. No, I said as a show, I'm just making we sure. need to find another show. I mean, another song, not another show. Some people think we need to find
it. It's a tough lineup tonight.
For the Astros?
Yeah.
I was looking at it a bit ago.
It's not great. You want me to go through it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no Yordan. It's not going to be great.
So it's Dubon.
See, I feel the same way.
Dubon, Pena, Tucker, Bregman, Abreu, Jolks in left, Myers in center, Hensley your DH, Maldonado bat in ninth.
You don't have Yordan.
What? It's almost screaming L.
How is it better though? Like with what you have right now, what's the improvement?
No, that's not.
Abreu's DHing.
No, Abreu's
he's
off.
First. Like maybe Diaz. Oh, no,
Hensley's DHing.
No, I'm sorry.
Hensley's
DHing. First,
yeah. I don't like that at all. But
like, I mean, the upgrade's Diaz. Like, and Diaz is hitting 200. So, like, it's kind of pick your poison. Like, the offense really can't be much better with what Dusty has at his disposal. That is what it's going to look like. I do like that Abreu's batting fifth, though, because you took Yordan Alvarez away, yet Abreu's still batting fifth. It makes you think that when Yordan comes back and or Brantley comes back, that Abreu's not going to be hitting in the cleanup spot, which I don't think he should be hitting in the
cleanup spot. But what do you think about the move to Pena at two and then Bregman below Tucker?
I think they're trying to get Pena going again. I think it's his move to try to get Pena going again.
He
and then
crushed
Bregman,
that homer last
he
night.
He did. I think he was trying to get Pena going again. And then Bregman does really well in the cleanup spot. Like I believe off the top of my head that Bregman in the cleanup spot hits better in that spot than any other spot in the lineup. So I'm cool with that. I'm fine. I think that's the best lineup with what you currently have, to be honest. I think it's the best lineup with what you currently have.
I think you're right. He's trying to get Pena going. I'm just not sure with how much you need against, especially a team like Tampa, how much you need like production from the top part of the lineup. I don't like throwing, we'll see if it works. I don't like Pena up there. I just hate that lineup right now that makes me not want to watch tonight.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
That's absurd.
That's painful lineup.
Who would you bet second?
I would probably go from Dubon to Bregman to Tucker. To get Tucker as many at bats as possible, to Abreu, to, you know, I would try and top load it because you're right. There's not that many options to choose from.
I think there's a better option.
What is it?
He's crushing the ball. Is it Jake Myers?
He's in center field.
Bat him higher. You want to bat him second?
The way he's hitting right now?
I mean, he's hitting better than Pena, but like, I wouldn't mess with him. Like, he's. It's a good thing. You got a good thing going.
So just keep it going.
Jake Myers has been a little bit of a space cadet in his life. Like, just leave him in the bottom of the order and hope it keeps going. I mean, he's not the permanent fixture there.
No, and hopefully last night was like an awakening for Pena.
Yeah. Yeah, try to get him going. Like, it worked last year.
Yeah, I mean, they were incredible when they moved him to two after Brantley got hurt.
I mean, whatever. It's a lineup in April. Frank Reich says he and Federer, I guess it's the general manager, had the talk Monday, and there is a consensus. Like, the timeline here is fishy. So Frank Reich, head coach of Carolina, says he and Federer, the GM, I believe, had the talk Monday. The talk means that they've come to a decision, and there is a consensus, but he won't say who the quarterback is going to be. Reich said the conviction for the QB happened gradually, slowly, but surely. Take that for what it's worth. This is what's wild. Frank Reich says they had the talk Monday. They had the talk yesterday. Will Levis's line movement came starting last night to today. The timeline fits perfectly.
All right.
Does it not?
It does. I can't wait if this happens.
The timeline is perfect.
Because it's not.
What the clues are.
Stoots isn't right. Because Stoots's mock draft was CJ Stroud 1.
Yeah.
But if it's not Bryce Young 1.
He's going to look smart.
He's going to give it to you. He's going to give you the business on Twitter, Jeremy.
Why? What did I say?
Pretty sure you crushed him for that. I think we all did.
Did we?
Yeah, for saying that Bryce wasn't going to go number one.
Oh, there's been so many of them. I can't recall like which ones are which. But yeah, I mean, the timeline, they came to a decision yesterday.
First of all,
Will Levis' timeline started moving yesterday.
He's supposed to tell the truth about who they're settled in on when they could still make a trade, still get the guy that they like, especially if it is a guy that not many or anybody is expecting them to take.
Who? And
you don't know who it could be. They might be enamored with C.J. Stroud. They are initially in the process they were.
You talking about Carolina or Houston?
Yeah, Carolina. Okay. So for everybody to say Frank Reich, you know, he didn't tell us who they zeroed in on. He's not gonna.
No one expects that.
Right. But at the same time too, is there a chance you're right? Look, everybody changes their mind. They go deep dive. They do the individual workouts. They talk to the people within their four walls. They try to come to a conclusion. And maybe they also want to keep everybody at bay guessing so that they don't give up any secrets and they can have a chance to maybe capitalize on it. I just don't think there's any chance that Carolina, if they're going to go at one and they're going to go quarterback, takes Will Levis.
And it wouldn't be me that's right. It'd be Vegas because the Vegas line movement. I'm just reporting the Vegas line movement. So yesterday we were talking about, like, Houston has this notion. We feel like that it's quarterback or bust. We hear a lot of people say quarterback, 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 no matter what, quarterback. I hate Will Levis, but if it's quarterback at two, that's fine. I'll be okay with Will Levis. Yesterday we put out that Twitter question. You're on the clock at two. Would you rather have Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson, or Will Levis? 65% of the vote was Will Anderson. 22% of the vote was Will Levis, and 13% of the vote was Tyree Wilson. So that's what it was yesterday. Today we just replaced Will Levis with Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson was in it today. Will Anderson was still the winner of this poll, 50% of the vote. Anthony Richardson had 39% of the vote, and Tyree Wilson had 12% of the vote. So the quarterback did swing things here. Tyree Wilson actually lost more. Tyree Wilson lost like a point. Will Anderson lost quite a bit because more people are way more excited about the idea of Anthony Richardson than Will Levis.
I think it's just the potential. I think it's the fact that they know this team is at probably 2 years away, and that if Richardson is also 2 years away, that the timing could be right for him to develop, get comfortable, learn the system, and then be able to take it to the starting job in 2 years. And they saw, and they're enamored with what happened at the combine. But overall, I think the smart pick of those three guys is still Will Anderson.
Yeah, Will Anderson's the favorite in the city. But more people would be happy with Richardson than Levis, but they still voted defensive end over Richardson. So this isn't quarterback or bust. This is C.J. Stroud.
But I don't think there's enough deep thinking into that to realize that what you thought was attainable and possible in the past is right now, the way it looks, not attainable at all, because those four quarterbacks are going to be off the board by seven, seven.
I think we just got to keep rolling this tomorrow.
All right, we're going to do one more.
Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson, or C.J. Stroud?
That's the last one.
Because now I'm just fascinated.
C.J. Stroud's going to win the vote tomorrow.
I think he should.
So it's not quarterback or
amongst
bust.
Amongst Texas fans, Stroud, I think he should.
I think Stroud's going
to
win the vote tomorrow.
I'm starting to wonder if the Texans are bust. The quarterback or bust is a very loud, vocal minority. And I'm like I won't be stunned if Anderson wins the poll tomorrow over C.J. Stroud.
That'd be the ultimate determining factor.
That would be fascinating if that happens.
Yeah, I would. I would agree. I would be stunned if Stroud loses the vote. I would.
I would too. But I also think that like the smokescreen, if this whole thing with quarterback or bust would just be a smokescreen, that they understand that they're still two, 3 years away, and that they're fine dabbling with a quarterback again in next year's draft or otherwise.
A little dabble.
Yeah.
A little dabble with the QB.
It's coming up on the wheelhouse.
What are they leading with on the wheelhouse? Oh, they're leading with the Will Levis odds. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah, that's the... There's three lead stories in Houston.
What
today,
was it yesterday?
There was some sort of draft stuff.
That meant someone... Joe, you were supposed to listen.
No one listens.
What was it?
All right, that's it for us. Joe George, thanks for all the hard work behind the glass. He's Blank, I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Willies are next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.